word of welcome to all of our own folk from Magalee. We do trust that each one is keeping well, that as we pray for one another, that the Lord will answer for us, remembering especially those who are sick and have loved ones who are unwell at this time too. I also want to thank you for listening. Those of you who are not members in Magalee, do thank you for getting in touch and for your words of encouragement too. And we do trust that even tonight as we share the word with you, that again it will be a help to you and that the Lord will uplift your spirits in these days. And we do want as people, of course, to be praying very much for the pandemic to go away and for the Lord's hand to be seen in all of this and for many hearts to be spoken to and opened even in days of considerable anxiety. I read just somewhere yesterday, I think, that anxiety levels had gone sky high since the pandemic came along. And this is something which is still prevalent when you're speaking to people. And we do trust that even through all of this, that they will find peace as it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we are going to be praying much for the work that we are involved in Magalee, for all the families, for the sick folk, for the boys and girls, for our missionaries too. And there's so much that we need to pray for. And we're getting prayer roughly between 8:30 and 9:30. And if you're able to come and join with us in prayer during that time, then we know that we're praying collectively. If you can't join for all of the time, please do spend some of the time in prayer. Again, we want to thank you, folks, our own folks, for your support, prayers, and your kind words in these days. We're going to read some verses over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. It says there in Isaiah, chapter 42 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up his cause, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless his word. This short reading to our hearts tonight. We're looking at verse 3 and going tonight to consider together bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. But before we do that, we just unite our hearts together in prayer and look to the Lord for his help this evening. Father in heaven, we do thank thee again tonight for thy love and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing that we receive at thy hand. Thank you, Lord, that we can say from experience that he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And for all who are listening now, we pray that you might meet the need of every waiting heart. Lord, for those in the congregation who have concerns and worries, for those, Lord, that we know are listening in and they're not from Magalee and some from very far away, we pray that the Lord would meet their need and give that strengthening that is required in these days. And may each and every one of us meet afresh with the Lord just now, remembering those, Lord, who are laid aside and can't come to listen to meetings and can't come to go into Facebook. And some that we think of that are very ill indeed, that the Lord would draw graciously near, that he would grant solace and grace and consolation in these days. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. Our persons, that is you and I, are described in the Bible as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And just drawing your attention very briefly to two places where he mentioned that to them in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. And in the verse 16, he says to them, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Then he goes on to say in the next verse, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, showing to us the importance of God's people to him and being the temple of the Holy Ghost. We therefore want to look after ourselves. We do not defile the temple And we know that all around us, we see indications of people destroying their bodies with alcohol and substance abuse and in other ways too. But suffice to say that you and I know that we are precious to him and that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Again, in his second epistle to the church at Corinth, the apostle writes there in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Then he says, "For ye are the temple of the living God." And what an encouragement it is to know that you and I, who are unworthy, and for long enough we're not seeking him, that he has sought us out and saved us by his grace. And this evening we can say with a great deal of confidence that we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You look at that verse 16, you see here that he is referring to a people that have been delivered. And you and I can say that as well. The Lord stepped into our lives and he delivered us from the bondage of sin, and things have never been the same since. And this very night, for some of us, that was a long time ago now when he did that. But this very night we're still found following after him and thanking him for delivering us. We can also look at that verse and say that we can know his daily presence. He says, "I will dwell in them and walk in them." And that being the case, you and I knowing his daily presence, we can know his direction. And of course that is very important in a world that is largely chaotic, and so many people around us seem to have totally lost their way. It's good to know that you and I have him to direct us. We are also his delight. It says in verse 18 of that chapter, it says, "And I will be a father unto you." And it's a tremendous thing to just take a moment every day and remember that you and I are the delight of the Lord. Indeed, it is the greatest of privileges to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And yet tonight, we have to confess that that which is his delight, that is you and I, we can be wounded. And we read there in Isaiah chapter 42 of bruised reeds and smoking flaxes. And the reference there is to us. And it's important to note here that it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break." I'd like you to remember that through the message tonight. He'll not break the bruised reed. It also said, "And a smoking flax shall he not quench." He won't put it out. And of course, these verses are very, very important to God's people. This is a description of those whom he has redeemed, of men and women who he loves, and those who he has saved from their sin. And yet, in life's journey, sometimes things can come along and affect our walk with him, our love for him, and our service to him. And he gives us this wonderful assurance in this verse 3 that the bruised reed shall not be broken and the smoking flax shall not be quenched. And I want to look just at those symbols with you tonight for just a few minutes. I first of all want you to notice, as we consider bruised reeds and smoking flaxes, because sometimes that's what we are. I want you to notice, first of all, being songless. And I'm drawing your attention here to the reed. The reed spoken of here was the calamus plant. It was a reed or a plant that principally grew by waterways. You would find them there at the edge of the river or down by the lakeside. And this plant had a hollow stem. Now, these plants themselves, they were weak and they were very fragile, but they were often used and made into a musical instrument. And whenever they were made into a musical instrument, of course the music was potentially sweet that came from these instruments and the music could be enjoyed by those who used the reed. But remember what we said. The reeds were fragile and they were weak and very easily damaged. If, for instance, one was dropped and damaged, or perhaps it was left sitting somewhere and a person sat on it and it was bruised and damaged, then it was simply discarded and another one was sought to take its place. And every Christian is in some ways like this reed. We are his instruments, and he has given to us a new song. Over there, the psalmist tells us about that in the book of Psalms, and the Psalm 40. He's talking here about all that the Lord has done for him. The Lord has saved him, and he set his feet upon the rock. He knows that his standing is good, just like yours, Christian, tonight. Your standing is good. It says in verse 3 of Psalm 40, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He's saying there, "I have given you a new song." And other people are going to notice that. And because of that, they are going to be trusting in the Saviour as well. And certainly, that is a great thing when other people see our lives and they see that we have been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are attracted to Christianity through what they see. They see people with a new song in their heart. Over in the Psalm number 77, Psalm 77, and this time it's verse 6. The psalmist here, he has been in a bit of difficulty. This is the psalm of Asaph, the musician, says there in verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night." I call to remembrance my song in the night. And sometimes, Christian, as you have lay on your bed, you have had that feeling of joy and contentment and even a feeling of great happiness in your heart as you have considered what the Lord has given to you. And as you sat there, or maybe you've lain there, I should say, and you have maybe offered a few prayers before you go to sleep at night, you have been very grateful, because you know, even though it may have been decades ago, maybe 50 or 60 years ago, maybe more, the Lord gave you a new song, and you remember that. But also over there, sticking with the book of Psalms, it's in the Psalm number 42, this time, and this is one of the psalms that show us that the psalmist was in difficulty sometimes. And it says there, in the Psalm number 42, and in the verse 8, it says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Now, in this psalm, Psalm number 42, if you look there at verse 11, you see that the psalmist is going through a difficult time. He's feeling cast down, and he says to his own soul there in verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" And when your soul is disquieted, Christian, yes, the Lord has given us a new psalm, and we've mentioned at night many a time, just thanking the Lord for all that he has done. But if we look there in the Psalm number 137, ties in with what we're looking at right now, that is being songless. Psalm 137, you have, if you know the background to the psalm, Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem were taken captive by the Babylonians. The Babylonian war machine had in some ways caught them unawares, and they had taken them away into captivity. And you can imagine the heartbreak and the heartache that that brought to them. It says in verse 2 of Psalm 137, "We hanged our harps upon the willows." Usually they'd be playing their harps, and as they played their harps, they would be singing. It says there in verse 3, here's the mocking, just like the mocking of the world. Here's the mocking that says, For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they said, they wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. This was just mocking. In other words, you people of Jerusalem, let's hear you singing now that already hung their harps on the willows. They didn't feel that they could sing because things were certainly not as they'd wanted them to be. They were homesick. Their hearts were broken. And they sum it all up in verse 4 and they say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It's as though they were bruised. It's as though they were bruised and they couldn't sing. And their heart was affected in such a way that they found praise to be a difficult thing. And Christian, there's a question for us all. Has a bruise spoiled your song? Has a bruise spoiled your music? Now, was it the world that bruised you? Well, was it the world that came along and treated you in such a way that you felt you're left behind? You felt that you're really insignificant? And you've been feeling out on a limb. And in some ways you've lost the song. The praise is gone. Or well, almost gone. Could I ask you this? Well, was it friends? Was it family? People you love and who should have loved you, and yet through their unkind or unfair words or actions, they have bruised you. And they have left you, you're just like a reed that is bruised. And do you feel a bit like those captives that we read of in Psalm 137? It's hard to sing. Because there's no real note of praise in your heart. You need to remind yourselves that running to the world will never help. We've seen an indication of that in Psalm 137. They were just mocking. Sing us one of the songs of Zion, as if they were interested. And you know, for you and I, we don't run to the world when we're wounded and we have lost our song. Because if that happens, we become more and more unstable. And we become those who are filled with suspicion. And that can easily happen. And maybe someone, somewhere tonight listening, has got to the point where you find it very difficult to trust anyone. And you feel that overall, no one really cares. Every man looks out for himself. No one really cares for you. And you'd be very, very reluctant to get close to anyone. And suspicion is something that you carry with you all the time. And more you're becoming a prey for doubts and for negative thinking. You know about Job. If you're a Christian, you will know a little bit about Job. And Job, over in his book, the book of Job, chapter 30 and verse 9, his situation was such that he actually said he was become the song of those who had bruised him. He says there that he has become their song. And to sum it all up tonight, has something happened that's knocked you about a bit? And yes, you're still listening to the prayer meeting tonight, the message. And thank you for that. Wherever you come from and whoever you are, we appreciate that and we trust it will help you. But you've been knocked about. Don't we sing the little piece sometimes says, when your cup runneth over with joy? But doesn't that little piece also say, when your cup is so empty and dry and you feel like sitting down to cry? Remember the words we read tonight. A bruised reed shall he not a bread and a smoking flax shall he not quench. We'll mention a little bit about that later on. You see, the reed, that's what we're looking at here, that which was used to make music, becomes bruised. It was generally cast away. You and I are just like reeds, but we're not cast away, because we are repairable. We are repairable. There is the thought of being songless. Maybe the message is for one individual tonight. But then the thought, not just of being songless, but the thought here of being beneath struggles, because he mentions also flax. I say, sinners, we are saved to be lamps that shine for the Lord, to be deacons that warn other men and women to flee to Christ for salvation. You see, the flax here, as many of you will know, is the wick of an old-fashioned oil lamp. And the wick was fed by oil. And when that was the case, the lamp was able to sustain a very good flame. It was quite a feeble flame, just a single flame there. But it was clear. And everyone could see that it was a light. But this verse in Isaiah 42 talks to us about smoking flax, or a smoking wick. Yes, the lamp is still lit, that's for sure. And there's a little light there, just a little glimmer of light there. But it's burning very dimly, and it looks like there's very little oil getting through to it. And it's not giving very much light at all. In fact, the smoke from it, because it's called a smoking flax, the smoke is hiding the light. The smoke is hiding the light, and the light seems as though it's about to be extinguished. Maybe you have felt like that, Christian. You felt that the light's burning low. Yes, it's there, you know you're saved. But the light's burning dimly. And how helpful these words are to us. A smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, at a time in his experience, Peter, really, to sum up his life, he was a smoking flax. Over there in Mark's Gospel chapter 14, and we're reading here about Peter. Peter was a very brave man most of the time. He deeply loved the Lord and tried to serve him, even sometimes in very outstanding ways. But Peter, as I said, at a time in his life where Peter was, he was a smoking flax. If you look there with me in Mark chapter 14, as we mentioned to you, in verse 54, Christ now has been amazingly, in verse 50 it says, and they all forsook him and fled. Let's not forget the apostles' teaching in another place, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But in verse 54 it says, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, and warmed himself at the fire. A commentator long ago put it this way, that in this verse we have Peter, great Peter, tremendous preacher, great encourager, a very courageous man for the Lord. Now he's warming his hands at the world's fire. And you know, I'm sure Peter, in his quiet moments for those days, he felt just like a smoking flax. Now, it says he will not quench the smoking flax, but flax is a wick of that lamp, and it's meant to dispel darkness. But whenever it is smoking, you know, it adds fumes and confusion. And it almost hides the light. The light can hardly be seen. And tonight, maybe there's someone and you think, well, I'm I'm not like the reed being bruised, being sonless. There's nothing been said or done that has affected me in that way. But I'm beneath struggles, and it's because of me. It's my own doing, perhaps neglect, or in the case of Peter, it was self-confidence. Peter was so self-confident. He meant well, and his heart was full of love for the Lord. He was so full of himself that he would never let the Lord down. Everybody else might do it, but he wouldn't do it. And then in Mark chapter 14, verse 54, we find him there warming his hands at the world's fire. It is a very sad spectacle. If you look on down at that chapter 14 in Mark, it says in verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? Now, formally, Peter would have answered. Peter would have been on his feet for the Lord. But you see, when a believer gets out of touch, as he did at that time, he was like a smoking flax. The light was there, but it was burning low. When a believer gets to that point, the willingness to stand out is just like the light that has almost disappeared. It's almost non-existent. And Peter, he was just sitting there. You can see him holding his head down, maybe hiding behind someone, keeping his up, warming his hand. He didn't stand up, and he didn't speak out. And one thing's for sure, when you and I are like a smoking flax, struggling because of something with me, very often neglect, but maybe sometimes self-confidence. When that is the case, we'll not stand out and we'll not shine out. And the message here in Isaiah 42 was to God's people. The context is of what Christ would do with them. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And these words are words of encouragement for it, but we need to look at something else. So tonight, maybe you're being songless. Maybe it's been for a while. And now this pandemic has made you think, I need to be in tune with the Lord and get back into blessing. And someone said something or did something on me, but I need help above that. Maybe as a Christian hurt you, and you know they don't really care. No. That makes it worse, doesn't it? You need help. Or maybe you are beneath struggles like the smoking flax, and stuff happens in life, and you have struggled with something, and it seems to be getting the better of you. As I mentioned, Peter, he was a mighty man. But here he was, denying the Lord and lying, swearing, warming his hands at the fire of the world. It says he sat down with them. So we have the being songless and beneath the struggles, but there is then the blessing of support. You see, a bruised reed is not a broken reed. A bruised reed has some strength, and when the Lord was sending a message over in the book of Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, part of that message was, thou hast little strength. They knew they were a bruised reed, but they were not a broken reed. And the smoking flax, while the flame is burning very, very low, and there seems to be more smoke than light, it can burn brightly again. And bruised reeds can, what bruised reeds and smoking flaxes need is nourishment and nursing, not neglect. Now that does not do away with human responsibility. What I'm saying is, Christ loves you still. The ancient Spartans, you know what they did with their offspring when they were, if they were deformed or sickly? They killed them. And you and I, men and women, we are the children of God, and he certainly doesn't do that. He is there to help us, to tend us. We are his, the reed and the flax. We belong to him. And he's there to help us. Now, if you come to the flex and it's been smoking for a while, you need to, might need to pare off or to scrape off some of the old burnt flax there to get the flame going again. It's like the dross. And whenever, if something has happened, as it did with Peter, there's dross that needs to be dealt with. Do you remember the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, in many ways he was sifted. Of course his faith didn't fail, but he was shaken. It was only the chaff that was discarded. And sometimes the Lord, he deals with the dross. Now here's a thought. Sometimes us, even as Christians, we like the dross. Whatever it is. If it's a habit, maybe something we like to watch. Whatever the case might be, we may like it and we may not like the thought of it being dealt with, but folks, it needs to go. I'm very glad tonight that he's still working with us, and he can repair the reed and he can fire up the flax and it can be fueled with abundant oil once again. The important part of the message here is in the following verse. See that he is fitted for this very work of repairing the bruised reed and the smoking flax. It says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. And it's very interesting there that the word in verse 3 that is translated bruised is the exact same word that is translated discouraged in verse 4 concerning Christ. He will not be bruised because he's perfect. But also, do you see the word that's translated smoking there, related to the flax? That's the exact same word that is translated fail in verse 4. He shall not fail. In other words, he's not a bruised reed or a smoking flax. He is our perfect Savior, and he is the one who's fitted for that work of restoring. So Christian, tonight, just before we come to prayer, remember this, that neither outward force nor inward weakness can hinder his power to help you and to heal you. Many years ago, there was a man called the Reverend Moore, who was from Dumbartonshire in Scotland, and he was saved at the age of 16, and he emigrated to Canada, became a minister. He wrote about 150 hymns, and one day he was invited to visit, he was asked if he would go and visit a young seaman. And he wanted to see him. He was very ill at that time, the young man was. And he had a conversation with him, and the young man was quite open to talk about the gospel. So he talked with him, and after a while he reached into his pocket, and he took out a tract. And the tract was one with the story of Pilgrim's Progress, or some of the story of Pilgrim's Progress, and there was on the front of it this image of Pilgrim coming to the cross with this great burden on his back, and he explained to this young man, he said, that's just the way I was when I came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to him. In other words, I came to the cross and was saved. And the young man listened well, and there on that sick bed, that young sailor, he got saved as well and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And later that evening, the Reverend Moore was sitting beside the fire, and he was thinking about the experience of the day and the young man coming to Christ. And as he sat there, he got a piece of paper and a pen, and he began to write another hymn. And he wrote the words of that hymn, and some of the chorus is, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And of course, the burden of sin is dealt with at Calvary. And if you're not a Christian, that's where you need to get to first of all. Get to the cross. But not only the burden of sin is lifted, we can bring life's burdens to the Lord. Doesn't it say in that hymn, cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. What a lovely hymn it is. What assuring words there are. What assuring words there are for bruised reeds and smoking flexes. That sometimes all of us could be in some degree. Do take encouragement from the words tonight. The bruised reed he'll not break, and the smoking flax he'll not quench. And if you tonight will allow him, Christian, he can do great things for you. He can help you with your burdens. He can help you to be that one with a great song in your heart and bright for the Lord. He can help you to burn brightly too, as the lamp or the flax that we looked at, and he can deal with the smoking situation. I do trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts to each and every heart this evening.